The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Let's go ahead and dive into our study this morning. Let me pray for us, and then if you've got your journals, you can open them up to the third week. If you don't have a journal, we will have some soon. We have a box of them that hopefully will be here before the end of service. You can stop by the Connection Center to pick up your journal. It's an awesome tool for this series, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a little bit, but let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for being a God that wants to be involved in our life, in every area of our life, vocationally, relationally, financially, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. God, there you put us together. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You have a purpose and a passion and a plan for our lives. And I pray that you help us all to dive into your word, to learn your truth for us so that we can be transformed by being transformed by you. Be with us now as we look into your scriptures. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I have a ton of content to cover. So some of it may feel like a fire hydrant has been opened this morning. I'm going to try and get through it quick because I know that we all have things we have to get to, but I hope more than anything that you are listening for God's voice through the passages of Scripture I'm going to be reading today. Today we're going to be taking time to look at our mind, to look at the mental aspect of who we are. Next week we're going to be looking at kind of mental health, emotional health, looking at our feelings. Anybody feel like they need to get in touch more with their feelings? I see some elbows going on out there. Today we're going to be looking at our thoughts. Where do we get these ideas from? Our key for this series, the whole series, is from Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says this: "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think." The battle for our mind is our focus today. And I want to let you know that God cares more about changing your mind than changing your circumstances. Now that can be a hard pill to swallow at times because some of us, let's face it, some of us go to church and we do religious things because we're hoping that maybe if there is a God out there and if I do enough, I'll gain his favor and my life won't hurt as much. That's sometimes how we approach God. We think that if we pray enough, if we become religious enough, if we read enough, if we do enough good deeds, then we'll somehow tip the scales in our favor and somehow God will make everything better. But the truth is that Jesus himself said, "I had sufferings in this world and so will you. But don't be overcome with fear and depression because I have overcome the world. And through you, I want to help you experience what living life really is intended to be." God promises to be with us through our darkest trials and circumstances and in the midst of every storm. And so instead of God wiping away our pain, he's there to help us to grow through it. You really can't get a diamond unless there's intense pressure. What is that? Is it carbon or something that gets crushed over ages and eons? And in the end, a beautiful diamond is produced. We looked at a video from the series Lost of how a butterfly or a caterpillar has to go into a cocoon state and they have to force and fight their way out of that cocoon in order for them to become strong enough to fly. Sometimes there are struggles and trials in life that God wants to carry us through and help us to get through so that we become prepared for the next things in life. But here's the key. No transformation can occur in our life unless we're willing to have our minds changed. And we've got to be willing to change our mind. Why is it important that we manage our mind? Why am I focusing on thoughts today? Why do the scriptures teach us about thoughts? Here's a couple truths I want to lay down for us to kind of build the rest of the thoughts on. Number one, our thoughts control our life. Every action that we do is birthed in a thought. Good actions, bad actions, they come from thoughts first. If you don't think about it first, you don't do it. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Some of us think, well, you know, what I do with my thoughts, it's just between me and myself, and it doesn't really affect anything or influence everything. Our thoughts are so powerful. They shape the way we live. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that. And there are times when we've grown up thinking certain things that we need to realize aren't true, and they've shaped our lives incorrectly. You may have grown up being told some things by somebody in your life that mattered to you that are just false. And we have to demolish the strongholds that those false thoughts have created in our life. You may have been told you're worthless, you don't matter, you won't amount to anything. There might have been somebody special in your life that you respected, and they spoke into your life some things that aren't true. And we need to learn to take those thoughts captive and demolish certain thoughts and make other thoughts captive to Christ. And we're going to get into that a little bit more today. We need to be transformed by changing the way we think, because the way we think shapes our life. Number two, because my mind is the battleground for sin. Whether I'm going to sin or not starts with the battle in my mind. All temptation that happens in our mind. It's not out in the world. It's not on the corner. It's not on big screens and billboards. It's in our mind. That's just where temptation is birthed. We have a desire inside ourselves that grows and produces pride and lust and hatred and fear and resentment and envy. And these kinds of things give birth to sin. And we have to learn to manage our thoughts so they don't give birth to sin. Romans 7:22-23. This is Paul speaking. He says, I love to do God's will, so far as it is in my new nature. But there's something else deep within me that is warring with my mind. And it wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin. In my mind, I want to be God's servant, but instead I find myself still being enslaved to sin. How many of you ever find that struggle at war within yourself? There are things you know you should do and want to do, but you don't. And the things you know you shouldn't do, you find yourself giving in. Circle those wars. There is a circle those words. There is a war for our mind. Sometimes we're conscious of it and we fight it. And we know, I can't think about that. I can't let that thought pull me down. And we fight against it. And other times it's just back there, just percolating, just kind of eating away at us. And it brings mental fatigue and stress. And the reason it's so intense is because our mind is one of our greatest assets. And our enemy knows that if he can get our mind, he will get us. If he can get into our thought life, he can get into our life. Number three, the reason we need to manage our thought life and be transformed in the way we think is because it is the key to peace and happiness. If you truly want to understand what this life, an abundant life full of joy, is like, you need to transform the way you think. There's so many things in this world that will cause us to think just wrong. And we need to learn to apply the truths of God's word and the truths of how much he loves us to experience the peace of mind that he wants us to experience. If we live life with an unmanaged mind, it'll bring tension. But if we live with a managed mind, it'll bring tranquility. If we live with an unmanaged mind, it will bring pressure. If we live with a managed mind, it will bring peace. If we live with an unmanaged mind, we will have conflict and chaos in our life. But if we learn to manage our mind, we will be able to walk in confidence. We will be able to turn from stress in our life and be able to have strength and serenity. Romans 8:6 puts it like this. It says, if that sin nature that's in you that we just read about Paul saying, inside of me there's this sin nature. If your sin nature controls your mind, there is death. And we're not just talking about the death that we'll die at the end of our days before we go on to the afterlife, but we're talking about a daily dying, a dying emotionally, a dying relationally, a dying, a slow death that comes when we allow our sin nature to take over our minds. But instead, we're called to not walk in the desires of our flesh, but walk in the desires of the Spirit. If we live, it goes on to say in Romans 8:6, if the Holy Spirit controls our mind, then there is life and peace. How many of you would rather have life and peace than death? Three of you. That's good. That's good. All right. So in your journals this week, in your studies, and if you're not able to join a new group, we've got a brand new group on Tuesdays now that have decided to start meeting down at Brittany, that neighborhood. We've got another group for some of our younger people. I don't mean youth, but like 18 to 30, married singles. They're meeting on Wednesday nights now. I think we've got like 14 or 15 groups now meeting, going through the study together. If you can't make it, we're trying to put the content on Facebook and through our website. This week, you're going to learn 5 habits that will help you develop a healthy mind. And there's no time for me to get into those today. I'm barely going to get through the content that I'm giving you today. But today, I want to talk about 3 choices that you and I need to make. Many of us think that we can't control our thoughts. But the truth is, no one else can but you. Satan has a way to influence your thoughts, and God's not going to control your thoughts, but God is going to give you the tools that you need in order to make the right choices, to think about the right things. If you've got bad thoughts, scary thoughts, guilty thoughts, depression thoughts, it's not enough to just say, God, take these thoughts away. No, God says, I've given you a mind. I've given you the ability to make right choices, to think about right things. It's kind of like you've been hired as a clerk in a hotel lobby. You can't necessarily pick and choose who's going to walk in the front doors of that lobby. Some people you're going to have to turn away, and others, they're going to be able to pay up and they should stay. In our life, there are going to be thoughts and temptations that come. And as a clerk in our mind, we've got to decide who we give a room to and who we don't. We've got to decide what thoughts we'll allow to dwell inside of us and which ones we need to send on somewhere else. Martin Luther said, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. I don't know why he said that, but it makes sense, okay? We have the ability to make the right choices of what we're going to dwell on, what thoughts we're going to give room for, and which ones we're going to say, be away. How do we do this? Number one, we need to feed our mind with truth. Any of you that are trying to eat right, you know that if you eat the wrong things, you're going to get certain results. Junk in is junk out. In the same way, spiritually, our mind must be fed, not with just the junk of this world. Now, I'm not saying all junk food is bad. I enjoy a Twinkie here and there. But if I eat too many boxes at once, I'll pay for it. In the same way, we have to feed our mind, not in just the junk of this world, but we need to be consumed with the truth of who God is. Jesus said, I am the truth. He didn't just come to say, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I am the truth. So we need to fill our minds with Jesus. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a group of some of the world's greatest minds that meet daily in Oxford. And they put out a report. They look at the world's leading headlines, the problems around the world, and with their bright minds, they come up with ideas and suggestions and possible solutions. And there are people who pay big bucks for this daily letter they put out. The CIA subscribes to it. Nations like the United States and Russia and many world leaders buy this because these are known as some of our world's greatest minds, giving insight and information into our world's situations. In the same way, these leaders know, in order for me to make the best choices and decisions in life, I need the best information. We have information that many of us neglect. The best information on how to live this life is contained in these scriptures. And I know for many of us, it's like, wow, that's so overwhelming. There's so many. Where do you even begin? Well, if you want to know the truth, you need to know Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, one of the best places to start is the book of John. It's 21 chapters. And it's written so that an eighth grader could easily understand it. And my encouragement is if you're not in God's Word and allowing God's Word to get into you, that you'd start by reading daily, being in God's Word, feeding yourself. Matthew 4:4 says, people need more than just bread for life. They must feed on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to be in God's Word and allow God's Word to get into us. How often should we be in God's Word? Some people say, well, I love early mornings. The psalmist David wrote, I rise early and I cry out for help and I put my hope in your words. But later he said, Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. And in another passage in Psalm 16:7, he said, even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. So when should you think on God's word? When should you fill yourselves with his truth? What's the answer? All the time. All the time. We need to allow God to be continually. It's not just Buddhist monks that should meditate. We should be meditating daily, moment by moment, on the truths of God's scripture. David said, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We need to learn to eat on the words of God, the truth of God. Goes on, number two. I must learn to free my mind from destructive thoughts. We need to learn that there are some thoughts in our mind that we need to demolish and get rid of. We need to replace those thoughts with truth. We need to deliver our mind, release our mind, and let our mind be set free. Some of us have become a prisoner to our own thoughts. Do you have some habits in your life that you can't seem to break? A lot of those habits may be based on things that you're thinking. You need to free your mind from these destructive thoughts. This is easier said than done. I've experienced some habits and some hang-ups in my own life that without constant seeking after God, I find myself getting tripped up in my own habits, my own desires, my own temptations. But if we begin to understand the way the enemy works against us, then we can know how to defeat it. There are certain rules of engagement in battles. And one of those is understanding your enemy. Your enemy, there's three that I want to point out to you real quick. One, the first enemy is our old nature, ourselves, our own selfish desires. Romans 7, again, Paul said, I see in my body a principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside me. When you're born, nobody had to teach you how to be selfish. We are born with sin in our life, the scriptures say. Nobody had to teach you how to be a greedy person. Nobody had to teach you how to punch or slap your brother or sister or take their toy. It just comes natural to us, okay? We're born with an old nature. It's called a sin nature. Romans 8:5 says, those who are dominated by their sin nature think about sinful things. But those who are instead controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If you had two dogs in your life, and those dogs were at war with each other, the one that is fed the most is going to win. We have to feed our new nature. When we become a child of God, the scriptures say, in John 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. When we become born anew, we get a new nature inside of us. And it's not enough just to know who God is and know that he died on a cross for us. We've got to daily find a way to die to our old nature and feed our new nature. We've got to spend our time walking in the Spirit, being in his word, and allowing our old nature to not dominate us. Number two, we not only have the enemy of ourself, we have the enemy of Satan. Satan is a real being. He was an angel once. His name was Lucifer. He was one of the most beautiful of all angels. He decided that he had a better plan than God. According to the scriptures, there was a war in heaven, and Satan said, I will rise to the throne. I will be the one on high. And God said, no, no, you're not. And he cast him out. And now he lives on this earth. And he's doing everything he can to pull. He knows in the end is his destruction. And he's trying to pull us down with him. And about a third of the angels, the scripture tell us, were following after him. And those are now his demons. And there are spiritual forces. We battle not simply just against flesh and blood, but about powers and principalities in the dark realms that are wanting to seed our mind with sinful thoughts. They can't control our mind. The scriptures tell us that if you are a child of God, the greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. But Satan wants to influence you. He wants to, in the book of James, it says that he uses lures to deceive us. Lures, we got any fishermen in here? Lures, they're used to catch different kinds of fish. And Satan knows what lures to use in your life. But you don't have to bite. But unfortunately, some of us go and nibble, thinking, I can handle it. I can take a little. I know how far is too far, and I won't cross that line. And before we know it, we're hooked. We have an enemy, Satan. Number three. The third enemy we have is this world's value, the cultures and systems built up around us. Very little in this life will tell you, don't think of yourself, think of others first. When's the last time you saw a commercial like that? Thankfully, there's a few here that pop up that think that way, but most of our commercials are like, have it your way, be all you can be, obey your thirst. What's that, Mountain Dew? There's not much in this world system that is encouraging us to live a life of selflessness and self-discipline and developing a healthy mental life. In 1 John 2:16, it says, all that is in this world, these are the things that come from this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but they are of this world. This world is saying, hey, pursue your passions. Pursue possessions. The more you can get, the happier you'll be. Pursue those positions. The higher you can get, it doesn't matter who you have to step on. As long as you can keep going up, you'll be happy. These are lies of our world system. And we have to learn to take these things under control and manage them and fight against them. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says it like this. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Our weapons instead have divine power, and they have the ability to demolish strongholds. We've been talking about having to outroot and pull out and get rid of those thoughts that are in our lives that are shaping the way we live. Instead, we demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's the most important part of this passage. We need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. A stronghold in our life is a lie that we begin to believe is true. And our life begins to become shaped by that lie. Lies like, God really doesn't love me. God really doesn't know what's best for me. If God really had the best plan, why am I in so much debt? If God really had the best for me, why would he want me to forgive that person who did that to me? We have these strongholds that grow up in our life, and we need to learn how to demolish these strongholds. Behind every sin that happens in our life is a lie that we begin to believe. And Satan is the father of lies. But Jesus said, as I've said it already, I am the truth. And if you begin to know the truth will set you free. So as we draw close to Christ and we begin to realize and recognize the wrong thoughts that are in our life, what do? The passage said we take those thoughts captive. The phrase is akmalo tidzo, and it means to capture or to conquer. Much like a nation would go into another nation and capture it. We need to take those thoughts. When they come into the lobby of our mind, we need to recognize that these thoughts are not good. But I can just think about it a little bit. It'll find a way of working its way into the rooms of your life. And before you know it, taking you captive. And so we need to take captive those thoughts. And once we take them captive, we don't just hold on to them. We make them obedient to Christ. Hupakoi is in there. We take every thought captive. We make them obedient. We bring them into submission. We cast them out. We throw them off. We don't dwell on them. We have the ability to make these choices, to make these decisions. We have thoughts that will come that we can't keep from coming. But we also have a will that God has given us and the ability to fight against thoughts that should not be there. We have to learn to make our mind, mind. We have to learn to make our thoughts captive and put them into submission. As it said, I already referred to in James, temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and the evil actions lead to death. temptation is a slow building process. And the Bible describes it in this way. Number one, there are desires. Each of us have natural God-given desires that He's given us. The desires to eat, to drink, to take care of ourselves, to sleep. We've been given a sex drive, and these are beautiful things. God gave them to us to enjoy this life, to get through this life, to experience the fullness of life that He has given us. But what happens is temptation turns a routine desire into a runaway desire. And we begin to crave these things that are natural for us to crave, but we begin to want them in ways that God never intended us to have them, with the wrong people and the wrong places at the wrong time. It's kind of like fire. Fire is a beautiful thing. I love sitting in my backyard with the fire pit. I love sitting around a warm fireplace. But fire in the wrong place will burn your house down. It can keep you warm and you can cook with it, but it can destroy everything. In the same way, these natural God-given desires in the wrong place will burn your life down. We have desires inside of us that grow. These lead to us to begin to doubt. The second phase of deception is doubt. We begin to doubt that God loves us. We begin to doubt that God knows what's best. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan saw these two guys. They had it perfect. They had a paradise they were living in, Adam and Eve. There were no kids around and they were naked. How do you mess that up? And yet Satan stepped into that mess and said, did God really say you shouldn't eat this tree? Eat the fruit of this tree? Did God really say that? Did God really say you were going to die? And he begins to twist and take God's truth and insert his own lies and lead us down that slippery slope. And this leads to the third step of deception. Satan replacing. He knows how to work those lures like a master fisherman. He knows how to wiggle them just right to get our attention. And when we get close enough, we're hooked. Deception sits in. And this deception leads us to disobedience and defeat. And so now we've gone from it just being a thought to us dwelling on it. And it gives birth to an action. And these actions become out of control, habits that we can't rein in, and they lead to death. Psalm 119:12 tells us that the best time to win the battle is before it even happens. It says like this, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. A lot of us, we look at the scriptures and we think, man, there's just such burden here. I mean, how do you live up to this? But the truth is that these words will give us the best life that we could ever experience and set us free from the traps and entanglements that we found ourselves wrapped up in and that we can't get rid of on our own. God created us to help us to experience life like we could never imagine. In order to experience that, we got to do the third thing. We have to learn to focus our mind on the right things. We feed our mind truth. We free our mind from destructive thoughts. And we begin to focus our minds on the right things. I thought it was kind of cheesy, that bracelet everybody wore for a while. The WWJD bracelet. Anybody here have one of those? Sorry, I hope I didn't offend you. I don't know if it was because I was in a youth group where all these kids wore them and they had them all different colors, but nobody ever really did what it said. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I just remember having friends who would, hey, let's go do this. And I'm like, really? What's that bracelet on your wrist for? I mean, my brother, if he were in here, he would say they would call me Father John because I was the one in the group that always said, are you sure we should do that, guys? I don't know that we should do that. And I wasn't a pastor back then, but there was just something about, I mean, all of us are tempted with different things. I'm not going to be tempted I was never tempted to do drugs. I was never tempted to do certain other things that seemed to be popular. But Satan knew me. He knew to get me through pride and through ego and through lies at times, not wanting to disappoint people, so I'd tell a lie to cover up another lie. Satan knows what lure to use in each of our lives. But what we need to realize is that if we focus on the right things, if we focus on Jesus, we can begin to experience the freedom that he brings. I remember being, I think I was 9 years old, maybe fourth grade. I was at a vacation Bible school, and I was taught a song. I don't remember the name of it, but it goes something like, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Got the joy, joy, joy. And then my favorite verse, if Satan doesn't like it, he can. Ouch! And, yeah, nobody jumped. That was my favorite part. We'd always jump up. What we were taught that week at Vacation Bible School was that if we really wanted to experience joy in life, we needed to do this first step. Think of Jesus first. J for Jesus. Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, O, others second, Y, you last. We think of Jesus first in every area of our life. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to the circumstance? How would he respond to the situation? 2 Timothy 8 says, keep your mind on the things of Christ. Hebrews 12:3 says, think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him, so do not get tired and stop trying. We think about Jesus. Number two, we think about others. Philippians 2:4, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Think about how our world would be transformed if we didn't just go through life obeying our own thirst. But we thought about how others are thirsting. Instead of you just thinking of yourself, you'd have a whole room of people thinking about your needs. Our world would be transformed if we really took this seriously. And number three, we think about eternity. Colossians 3:2 says, let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about the things that are down here on earth. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We have to allow God to show us how to transform the way we think. When we begin to take every thought captive and put in submission and obedience to Christ and what he would want us to do in each and every situation, we will see our peace of mind grow, the blessings in life flourish, joy in the midst of storms, and we will become the transformed people that God wants us to be. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, your first step might be in realizing that Jesus loves you. That Jesus was a real person who came to this earth in a real way. He came down in flesh. He lived 33 years on this earth, never sinning, always pointing those he loved, caring for those in need, pointing them to the Father, letting us know that he came for one purpose, to die on a cross for our sins. The scriptures tell us because of that sin nature that we talked about today, because we have sin in our life, we're just on our own, separated from God. And we needed our sins paid for, atoned for. We can't do it on our own. Jesus gave up his life on a cross. His blood was shed to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The scriptures say, if we put our faith and belief in Jesus Christ as Lord, if we believe in our heart that he is Lord, if we confess him with our mouth that we want him to be our Lord, we will be saved. His body and his blood were broken and shed for us so that we could experience true life in him. Your first step this morning may be saying, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Help me to die to the old me and help me to discover the new me in you. I pray your Holy Spirit would come into my life and transform me and help me to become the person you want me to be. Others in here this morning, you may know Jesus as your Savior, but you realize there are some strongholds in your life that you need to demolish. I hope you see that God has given you the tools to be able to demolish those strongholds. Some of us, some of our habits are so deep, we need the help of others encouraging us, building us up. We can pray with them. We can seek their counsel. And maybe you need to find someone in your life to help you to overcome some of those strongholds in your life. to destroy some of those wrong ways that you've been thinking about yourself, that you've been thinking about others, the unforgiveness you've been holding towards somebody else in this life. Allow God to bring the freedom into your life that He created you to walk in. He created you to be free, free in Him. Father God, I pray that You would help each of us to discover the transformed life that You're calling us to live. Let us remember as we close our services together now that as we eat of this bread, You said that as we take bread, we remember Your body broken for us. As we dip it in a cup of drink, we remember Your blood that was shed for us. God, help us to remember how You gave up everything for us. You were broken. You laid down Your life and died. You conquered sin and death and rose in victory so that we could now come to You and experience what true life is all about. As we close our time together, help us to think about these things. Help us to surrender areas of our life that we need to surrender. Help us to celebrate areas of our life where we're seeing You transform us. And most of all, help us to remember that it's only because of You that we even have the ability to live for You. In Your name we pray. Amen. As our band closes us in a time of response and worship, we invite you, if you are a child of God and been made new by Him, we invite you to come and take communion. We have stations here up front. We have a station in the back if you want to receive communion and give it to one another as friends and family. You can help yourself back there. I would love to pray with you about any struggles that are going on in your life. We have prayer teams in the back as well. If you gave your life to Jesus today, let us know. We want to celebrate that with you. Most of all, listen to God's voice during these few moments. Let Him speak to you about the next steps He wants to help you take. Let's now respond as God leads.